Hey guys, welcome to another GSG podcast. Today is the 13th of December, and I am not in the little dark corner of the studio. I'm actually out in the real studio here. I'm out yelling while everybody's trying to get some work done. It's a little late in the office, so I don't think anyone's trying to get some serious work done, I hope. At least I hope not. They'll throw stuff at my head, if so. Anyway, figure we'll get back in it and do another podcast. I want to give you a quick update on some new stuff on the site, if you're familiar with the actual website, not just the podcast. I do some tutorials and stuff over at my blog, and one of the things we worked on, me and my buddy Dave worked on for the last week, is this new tutorials page. It's I think it'll actually come up at grayscalegorilla.com/tutorials, and I'm actually checking this live. I want to make sure it works. It does. Perfect. GrayscaleGorilla.com/tutorials. And what we did was we took all the icons from the last 4 years of tutorials on Grayscale Gorilla and kind of laid them out all in one big page. And hopefully it's a way for you guys to find maybe some of the older ones that are still useful, but just kind of buried in a blog. You know, a blog's a good format to kind of keep things fresh and to always have the newest thing at the top of the page. But sometimes with a blog, it's not always that the thing at the top of the page is the most important or your best work or the thing that you might be looking for. So hopefully this tutorials page is a way for you guys to maybe explore some of the different, you know, styles and tutorials and things we've learned as, you know, over the last 4 years. Because 4 years ago, I knew 4 years less of cinema, and hopefully I'm learning as I go and progressing. But there's a lot of stuff over the years that may be helpful. So I'm hoping that page is going to at least start to allow people to see some of the stuff we've been doing for a while. So check that out if you're interested in that. And we have a lot of new updates and stuff coming for the site. It's been a focus of mine over the last month or so to really look at the site and focus on making it easier to find stuff. And I feel like I'm always trying to do that a little bit, but recently it's really been bugging me the way that maybe some of the things are laid out, and I want to make sure that when you guys hit the site, you can find what you're looking for, you can learn what you're trying to learn, and some of the other stuff. And that brings me to the way I've been thinking about kind of the two things that I do on the site. Now, if you're listening to the podcast, you're listening to maybe like the second thing that I do. So if you think of the site or Grayscale Gorilla or every time I talk loud in a microphone, it might be two different things that I'm doing. One is kind of this hard skills thing, and I'm not sure if this is the right word or the right phrase to call it or whatever, but the hard skills are not the difficult skills, but they're more like the tools. They're the physical, where the metal hits the software, I guess. And those are things like techniques, and those are things like where the button is to make it cloth, and those are things like how to actually connect all these buttons together and make something. But then there's this whole set of soft skills that I talk about a lot. And I talk about a lot on this podcast. I talk about a lot when I do my speaking gigs and go speak at schools. I talk about a lot, sometimes when I write blog posts, it's about these soft skills. And what I mean by soft skills are these more non-specific, no right answer, kind of like how to get a job or how to control your time and get more done, these productivity things, or these how to choose your career, or how to get better in the career you're doing. And not just get better, like learn the tools. It's the actually knowing all that other stuff I talk about. Those hard, it's funny because I actually call them the hard things in a lot of the talks I give. And when I say hard things in the talk I give, what I mean is difficult. So maybe I should rethink this whole soft skills and hard skills. But if you think of learning, and if you think of anything as these two different sets of skills, it really applies to almost anything you're trying to get into, especially in a creative field. If your thing is After Effects, if your thing is painting, if your thing is design, if your thing is website design, if your thing is iPhone apps, if your thing is whatever that creative output is for you, there's always the actual knowing web design, right? There's always like, I need to know Java, and I need to know HTML, and I need to know how to set up a database, and I need to know FTP, and I need to know maybe Rails, and I need to know CSS, right? And those are the hard, those are like the actual physical skills that kind of not always have the one right answer, but they actually connect in a way that is like a physical piece of like a tool. It's almost like how to swing a hammer or how to cut a piece of wood properly. Those are your tools, and that's what you need. Well, that's fine, but if you don't know what to do with that piece of wood or you don't know where to put that nail, that is the kind of more mental part of your job in whatever field you're in. And that's the stuff I try to talk about on this podcast. It's the stuff I try to talk about when I go talk at schools, mostly because, hey, you know, tutorials don't work unless I'm in front of a computer showing you my screen. Right now is not the time to tell you what button to hit to make cloth. Right now is hopefully a time, if you're interested, to talk about some of the things that don't necessarily have a right answer and certainly don't have the right answer for all the same people. And this is where it gets a little rambly, and this is where it gets tough to talk about. But the way I'm looking at not only the podcast, but also the website is a way to maybe separate those two things or to think about them in different ways. Why do I talk about this now? I don't know. Honestly, sometimes I talk about stuff because I'm unformed on what I actually think about it. And sitting here in front of a microphone, in front of a few hundred people now and a few thousand people later, hopefully help me discuss it in a way that helps me make sense at the end of me rambling on. So I'm sorry if you have to get through this part, but hopefully it makes sense in the end. But these soft skills, I think, apply to almost everybody. It's the reason I obsess over, you know, like podcasts like Back to Work and stuff like that, because they're not talking about programming, you know. They're not talking about writing specifically. They're not talking about anything specifically. They're talking about learning those soft skills, those language and relationship kind of skills and interpersonal skills, time management skills, social skills, getting out of your basement skills, saying what's on your mind skills. All those things come into play so much in every field, and they're things that are not discussed. They're things that, and this is where I find myself getting really rambly on it, just because it's hard to discuss, first of all. It's hard to have a right answer, and it's also things that people don't necessarily sit around in a circle and talk about, and they could be some of the most important things moving forward, especially for your career, and not just for your career, but for any personal relationship that you have toward anybody or anything. So I don't know. I feel like I say something along those lines at the beginning of every podcast. So I'm sorry if I bring it up again. But today it really hit me that it's not just the podcast. It's things like my speaking gigs and some, you know, like the 5-second projects, which is technically an excuse for you to sit down and learn your tool and try out new effects. But it's really a social idea that you need to get your work out in front of people and get feedback, right? So that's kind of the intersection of where your physical work and your physical, you know, knowing the software and knowing how to export and uploading it to Vimeo and titling it and all those like, you know, technical skills kind of come into play with having the idea for your work, showing it to your friends, you know, showing it to the world and hopefully getting feedback on it and entering a contest and being vulnerable about your work and not just showing it to your mom and your friends who you know are always going to say, good job, right? So with that said, I don't know what the outcome of that is. It's just hopefully a way to think about the two ways that you could take those things and get better at both of them separately. Now, I find myself getting very heavily into technical stuff. You know, if I want to sit down and learn, like recently I'm trying to learn all about the new physical renderer. I guess it's not brand new. It's over a year old now. But I was finally like, you know, I want to learn as much as I can about the physical renderer. I want to make my renders look as good as possible, try to speed this thing up, figure out, you know, how to reduce grain and how to use the proper if I use progressive or if I use adaptive, like all those things. I've been sitting down and really, really obsessing over it, and I can find myself getting in those holes where that's all I do. And sometimes I don't focus on some of those other softer skills and how to maybe show you guys what I've been working on and get the work out there. So I totally understand coming from both sides of that. But there should always be two sides of that. Hopefully there's something there. It'll come to me next week. But with all that said, there is new 5 Second Projects winners announced. If you go to the blog and scroll down a few, I think it's the most recent one right now, but depending on when you listen to it, the latest one is called Huge Mustache, and we picked a winner and a ton of really cool honorable mentions. In fact, it was really hard to pick a winner. It's actually always getting harder to pick a winner because there's really, really good work in there. We ended up with, I think, 8 or 10 total videos posted on this thing because we get such great work in here. So check those out and stay tuned for the next one. We're going to have it up in the next week or so. I think, Dave, do we have an official date set for that? Is that Monday? Yeah, it's this Monday. So keep an eye out for the next 5 Second Projects this Monday, and hopefully get your entry in there. And we'll see you in the next one. Also, we've been playing around a lot with site design for the and I went over this at the beginning of the show, but we've been, you know, again, thinking about how to organize this stuff so that the site could be more helpful. I started this site because people asked me to show them how Cinema 4D worked, and people asked me to show them how I did my photo stuff back in the day when I had the photo blog. And I want that to be the focus of the site. I want you guys to be able to find what you want to learn and look at it and find the next thing you want to learn quickly, because that's the way I learn. I get interested in one specific thing and I have to figure out how that's done. Lately, it's the physical renderer, like I said, and that's all I look for. I want to learn all about the physical render. I want to find all the knowledge I can about it. I want to test it out. I want to head into cinema and try to break it, do all those things. And I want other people that learn that way to be able to come in and go to a page and say, yes, this is exactly what I want, and let's go find it. So hopefully that tutorials page is a way to do that. The last thing I have written down here is about design and about this whole process of going through the blog design and thinking about how to be a better designer. It's something I've always struggled with. It's something I've never really identified with being a designer. To me, I always learned design because my stuff was ugly and I was tired of it being ugly. And the only things my friends could help me do is tell me to be a better designer. They would say, that's entirely the wrong typeface. That's entirely the wrong colors. What are you doing? And I say, I know everything I ever needed to know about After Effects at the time, but my stuff was so ugly, and more importantly, I wasn't happy with my stuff because I didn't have the design chops, and I didn't know how to make it better. Luckily, I did know that it was bad. Luckily, I didn't know, and I could ask people and say, why is this so ugly? And they gave me great feedback, like, nobody uses that. Nobody uses Comic Sans, you idiot. And I didn't know. And then I learned, don't use that. Okay, well, that's great. Well, that wasn't part of me going to school and learning all this hardware. You know, they never set us aside and said, don't ever use Comic Sans unless you're making a comic book. They never went through any of that. So I went out of my way to learn the design stuff, not because I fancied myself as a designer, but because I could see that my stuff wasn't good enough. And all the people that could make it more beautiful, when they sat down next to me and they could point at things and say, that could be better this way, were all designers. And today I've had like the same experience with my buddy Jack sitting over here, and he's a great designer. And I'm working on this new design for my blog, and he walks up and does the same exact thing. And he sees things that I can't see. I see that it's not what I want, and I see that it's not beautiful enough, and he has, if not the right answer, he has something new to try. He has something new to say, hey, why don't you try, you know, this color, or lightening this up, or why don't you try this subtle texture over here, or why don't you try this font instead of this one, or why don't you try moving this up a little bit and then concentrating on this part. And he brings an eye at it that I think he has a design. He has more of a designer's eye on it, or maybe he has more technical skills in his tool belt to try different things. Maybe he just knows more to try. But it dawned on me today that it reminded me a lot of school when I sat around and all my designer friends who learned how to make books from hand and hand set lettering and do all that real designery stuff. They could sit around and look at my animations and go, well, if you did this and change this color and this font, it would look much better. And it got me excited to do that more. I get caught in my own head and my own design ways, and I just want to sit and figure it out. And I know a lot of people have that same kind of mentality where they just go, I'll do it. I'll figure it out. Just sit here and work and work and work on it until it looks the way I want. And that is great. That's a great attitude to have. But recently, I've been more impressed with the outcome and more impressed with the speed of the outcome and getting to a more beautiful point faster by incorporating other people that know what the hell they're doing. And I don't know where that point turned for me. I think a lot of it is working here where I work around a bunch of cool designers and people that know what they're doing and are happy to offer their ideas and their skills. So maybe it's a little bit of that, of being, you know, something I've always talked a lot about, you know, being surrounded by people better than you. I think that has a ton to do with it. It's just reminded me again that matters. That fucking matters so much, to be around people that are better at what you are trying to do, and also ask for their help if you need it. I can't explain how important it's been for me learning all this stuff, because without it, I'd just be a guy that knew After Effects. And I'd have ugly, really well-timed, ugly animations. But by being around these people and learning, I can't explain how much that seems to help this whole process, this whole fun, crazy process of making more beautiful stuff. Because that's all I'm obsessed about. I want to make it better looking. I want to make it easier for people. I want to make it more fun, and all that stuff comes from discussion and arguing and learning from people that have gone through it. So anyway, that's been my day. What are you guys up to? Let's check the chat room here. That's what I'm trying to say. Aw, Jack's got a little heart. Thanks, Jack. No, thank you. I get to talk about Jack while he's in the room and he gets to hear me cry about him. What do you guys been up to? Any questions here? All right, let's see. Yeah. Alien Output says, when you have a creative block and can't think of any ideas for a project, what helps? And he suggests maybe magic mushrooms, meditation, stargazing, alcohol. Man, all those things could help. Creative block and can't think of any ideas for a project. Well, I feel like there's usually two things that help me a lot. One is a deadline. If it's approaching, if I have 2 days to put a whole project together, I feel like the ideas come much faster than if the project is a month away or 2 months away. So one thing to do is to maybe fake a deadline for yourself or for your idea, no matter what it is, and just say, hey, by tomorrow, I'm going to get started on it, no matter what it is. I need the idea. We need to get the heck going. So maybe that's it. The other way to do it is to remove yourself, if you have the time, and if it's not a rush thing, like you have to get it done by tomorrow, then get the heck away from your computer and go engage in something else that is exciting. Now, some people like walking around in the woods. You know, some people like, you know, sitting at a bathtub. Some people like hanging out with their friends. Some people like a beer with a bro or a lady friend or whatever it is. Getting in other conversations and talking about stuff you're interested in is always a good way to get the ideas moving. And if you just let it sit in the back of your head and you think, and you're not necessarily overthinking about what you're trying to do, but if you're just kind of, your brain keeps that stuff sitting there and waiting. And if you just go engage your brain in other places, those little puzzle pieces might snap together. And that seems like, you know, the wisdom that a lot of people say. That's not a new thing. But getting the heck away from a blank page is probably one of the better things you could do. but like I said, if somebody's coming to grab the design in an hour, you know, the ideas have to go. So one of the things, the things in that situation, if you're really rushing to get it done, to try, is just literally taking two things and smashing them together. Having a silly idea of, you know, grabbing two things on your desk and making it happen, or taking the things that you know have to happen in your brief or whatever. You have to use this logo, or it has to, you know, jump around or whatever, and trying to smash another idea on top of it. It's an idea that Jim Kudal mentioned, and he calls it the theory of design, the theory of creative relativity, I think he calls it. I think he has a talk about that too. I got to take notes so I can put these links in. So what he says is they had this thing called booking bands, and it was books that were kind of mashed together with bands. So what they would do is take famous book covers and kind of Photoshop them out and add band names into some of the book titles. So I'm gonna cheat here, and because I could sit here and guess, and I'm gonna pull this up, and this is exciting radio here. But what they had is things like the things they might be giants carried, or they had Of Mice and Men at Work, and they had The Agony and the XTC. So get it, the XTC, the band, right? Bare Naked Lunch Ladies, right? So they took book names and smashed them together with bands, and they had this big chalkboard in their bathroom to write all this stuff down as they came up with their ideas. And what Jim is saying is this kind of theory of creative relativity, what he says is the way you can approach that side of creating those booking band kind of things is kind of two ways. And he says, and it's really simple, you could put a band in your head and then run through all the names of books that kind of sound like that band, right? And then once you find one in your head, you kind of mash it and squish it together until maybe it makes sense. Or you can also do the opposite thing. You could think of all the bands and pick one and then run through all the books and compare it to the band. So, and we do this, we actually do this at the office a lot. It's never with booking bands, but it's like making stupid nicknames for each other, right? Like, what was the one today from lunch? You know what I mean? If you think about it, yell it out. But, you know, all the time we're saying something and then taking somebody's name around here and trying to smash it into some movie title we just heard. It was The Hobbit or something like that. Yeah, it was Frodo. Frodo. This is a silly example, but it was like, you know, the Hobbit came out and everyone's talking about that. And then we were talking about the update to my iPhone app, Shake It Photo. And then, you know, somebody just yelled out, hey, you should make an iPhone app, Shake It Frodo, you know, to promote the Hobbit. And it's not funny, right? But that's the way that your brain works. If your brain is ready to connect two stupid things and connect it together, you end up with things like Money Rabbit and Shake It Frodo and Butt Douglas. And we're all laughing here, and nobody knows what that means, but that's okay. Because you're hooking the outside world into your problem. And that's what your brain does. That's what your brain is built to do. And if you go, you know, take the walk and allow your brain to maybe see a tree and then see the pun for a tree and then have a book name that is a tree thing, or see a poster for a band and then think of the book to go along with it, that's where that magic stuff can happen, when you have more crazy stuff to smash together. Now, if I were to sit and think about a Hobbit joke, I probably wouldn't end at Shake It Frodo by myself. And But it exists now because there are other people around saying, talking about crap I would never be talking about, specifically another 4-hour movie. So, I guess there's three things. Play the game, play the booking bands game with yourself and your subject matter. Get the heck away from the computer, or if there's a deadline looming, dude, just do it. And hopefully that's helpful. That was a long when is there ever a short answer, really? But thank you. Thank you for the question, Bud Douglas. All right. Let's see here. Bum, bum, bum. Let me try to find another question. Here we go. Nick, where do you find it's an advantage, hold on, to visualize something drawn on paper rather than going straight to the screen? I would say it's an advantage. This has actually changed for me. It used to be that I always would be quicker trying to make the real thing rather than trying to sketch it out, mostly because I can't draw at all. I could draw squares. I could draw some squiggly lines, and that's about it. And so I would always tend to move toward the real thing, especially because I don't work on a team. I don't have to make a storyboard. I can see it in my head, and I don't have to spell it out for anybody. I could just kind of barf it out onto Photoshop and figure that out, right? But lately, I've really had this need, this physical, I don't know what it is, like habit or something, that I feel like I'm taking too long to describe to other people. You know, and this, I think that's the difference. Now that I'm working and working with other people, and it's not just me, it's way quicker to sketch stuff than it is to sit and design it out. Because now I have to describe something to somebody else on the team where we're working on, like we're working on this new plugin idea. And I'm like trying to explain something and we cross ideas and it's not coming through. So instead of sitting there and designing it, it's way better. What I do is I bring up 1,000 pixel by 1,000 pixel little page in Photoshop and I get my brush out and I got my Wacom pen here and I just scribble on it and I build the little interface and I could draw on it. I get our basic sketch out and into their brain much quicker than if I were to do it in a real design. So I think even just now, just talking about it, I'm seeing why that is the difference. I think if there's other people involved, if you have to share ideas and get the idea spreading, I think a pen or a marker and a whiteboard or Photoshop or some sort of sketchy or a field notes and sketching it, that is going to go way faster than actually designing this whole thing out. In some cases, if you're working in a small team or you're working on your own and you see it in your head, you see that sketch already built out, just go make it. I mean, that's always been, and I feel like I've come full circle on this because they taught us in school to do like wireframes for websites and stuff like that. And I always felt like that was so antiquated and so useless and just a waste of time to go like, this page is going to lead to this page and this page is going to lead to this page. And I'm like, I know what pages lead to what. I'm just going to build it, right? But when you're working on a team, it's a little bit different because now you need to spread this idea around. I've rarely worked in a large team. And now it's to the point where if we're, you know, if Chris and I are talking about an idea, we need to be able to share those ideas quicker and to be on the same page. And the only way to make sure we're on the same page is not to have it exist in our heads. It's to get it out on paper and at least go, yes, that's what it should be. And we both point at the same thing. If you're both thinking of the same thing, there's no actual way to know that you're both thinking of the same thing. Because I could say blue, and you could say blue, and we may both have a totally different blue in our head. But if I paint the blue down, and I go, that's our blue, and we both look at it and agree, then we have a real agreement. So as far as sketching stuff out, I would say... Well, obviously, if you need to, you need to. But if you don't need to, you don't need to. If you don't have that urge and you can work on it by yourself, I think you just do it. If you could draw too, man, that helps. I certainly cannot do that. Thank you so much for the question. All right, here, let's see. Yeah. Bum, 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 bum. Sorry about that. I'm just kind of trying to scroll up here and see some other questions. And that was Johnny Peachtree for that question. Thank you very much, man. And I have one right here. I just got to kind of lock the page and scroll it and try not to mess this up. Let me see what I got here. Dun, 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 dun. Sorry, guys. Just trying to find it. How do you get your foot in the door so that you can be around better creatives? That's a question by Explode006. He's probably talking about what I mentioned just before there about being surrounded by people better than you. And it's something I've brought up a lot before. But to me, it's been such a critical part of getting better. Not only are they an actual source to ask questions and physically learn from them, but they're also this like looming character in the room that is better than you and smarter than you at the thing that they do. And it pushes you to actually make better stuff just by being around them, not even by, you know, like physically learning from them, just by them maybe passing by your screen and looking over your shoulder and seeing that ugly piece of crap you've been working on. At least for me, it terrifies me and it makes me work a little bit harder to make something more beautiful. So that next time they roll past my computer screen, they might go like, hey, nice work, right? I've talked about this a lot, and I'll try not to repeat myself 100 times on these things, but that to me has been huge. So how do you get into that situation? Well, there are a lot of co-op kind of working spaces that are popping up. If you, there's a lot in Chicago, there's the Coop, and there's the, what's the address one? 1851. There's one, it's 8 something like that. Anyway, there's one downtown at the Merchandise Mart. You know, there's a lot of these co-working spaces where you can go sit around and you can be the smart person for what you're smart at doing, and you can be surrounded hopefully by the other smart people that are smart at what they're doing. So that's one, you know, easy way to do it. And then you just have to be social and try to talk to them and ask questions and do all that kind of stuff. But if you don't have that aspect, there's a lot of people that are like the only graphics person at their jobs. I hear this story constantly. They're like, man, I really like that idea about being around other people and maybe having a mentor and having people that could show me better stuff. But I am like the After Effects person at this job, and I screw around a little bit with cinema, and I do their flyers when they need a Photoshop thing done. And I'm it. I'm the guy. The rest of the people are actually selling stuff, or they're the person in charge of answering the phones or whatever. Like, they're surrounded by these people, which they can't learn a lot from in this kind of in their field. They're not going to learn any design or After Effects tips from the salesman, right? And I feel that. I really feel that. I don't know the right answer for that specific person other than maybe look around for a job. And I understand other jobs pay less maybe, or you know, you're in a small town, but at a certain point there's going to be a trade-off between learning more or maybe, you know, having a more stable job or whatever. And this is really true early on. If you have the choice early on between a job where you're the worst one there and the pay is half, and if you can get a job where you're the best one there and the pay is double, if you're early on, I'd go for the first one by far. I would get in. I would learn as much as you can from these people, because you can always move up in that situation. Or once you're better, you could always take that other job, or you could take a better job than the one they offered you, because now you have more skills. And, you know, maybe you don't want to sit at work all day and you have a family or something down the road. So early on, when you have the time, geez, go be surrounded by those people as much as possible. Other ways you could do it, and this is the last one is to be a part of the local community, whatever that is. If there are meetups, if there are places to go, you know, meet other people that do what you do. Let's say you are the only person at your job. You can't surround yourself by these other people. Well, when they have a meetup or whatever's going on in your town or nearby, go there and learn and talk with them and try it on that side of things. And the computer version of that is get into forums and try to help people and try to meet them in that way. So there's a lot of places where you can be, you know, quote, surrounded by people more better than you or more successful than you. I would try all of those avenues. I'd try the different job. I'd try the forums. I'd try the physical, you know, rubbing elbows or whatever they call that thing. But it's very, very helpful. Very helpful for me. And again, like I said, it pushes me to make better stuff. And it also allows me to ask questions from these smart people when I have a question. all right. Whew. Let's see. Thanks for the question. And we'll do one more, and then we'll roll out of here. All right. Let's see. Remington has a question. He's been asking this a few times here, and I think I might have an answer for him. It says, how do you go about quoting on jobs when you know the company is much larger than your usual client base? Man, and as I read that question, I realize I don't think I have an answer on that. I thought that was a different question. How do you go about quoting on jobs when you know the company is much larger than your usual client base? I would, being totally ignorant on quoting on jobs for large clients, I would say overbid. And if they want you to work, they will bring you back a more reasonable number. I don't know. Does that sound like a dumb answer, Jack? Overbidding is not always the best idea. So we'll have Jack do a very special how to bid for clients episode. And then for now, you just don't listen to me. So we'll go on to a question where I've actually tried some of this stuff, because that's a good lucky guess. Actually, it was an unlucky guess, wasn't it? I was totally wrong. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't done a lot of freelance work, guys. I don't have the right answer for that one. But hey, it didn't stop me from trying. Does Jack have an account on Twitter? You're the real star of the show here, buddy. Let's see. Let's do one more that I actually know what I'm talking about. And secretly, guys, I don't know what I'm talking about. Now the secret is out. Nope, no questions. Yep. Do you have any tips for interns like myself to stand out and maybe get a better job offer? This is Big Bear 18 asking a question.
Big Bear.
Do you have any tips for interns like myself to stand out and maybe get a job offer after? If you are an intern, the best advice I could give you is to involve yourself in the projects, but don't be weird about it. Ask to help. Ask what you can do to help. Ask if you could rotor something out. Ask if you can be a part of the project. Now, if they are going to make you make coffee or do whatever intern, kind of take the garbage out kind of stuff, that's fine. What tends to happen if there's more than one intern at a place is that the interns that don't really engage with the projects and aren't interested in helping more with the projects, they're the ones that end up making more coffee anyway. If you're at a place and they need help and they and you can offer help in any way, and you're not a buggy, you know, tap everybody on the shoulder kind of person about it, those always tend to work out the best in my experience. And that was only at, you know, two places I've seen or worked with that had interns. So your mileage may vary, but being engaged in a project and going, hey, just so you know, I know this project just kicked off. If there's any way I can help or do anything, I would love to try that. And a lot of times, if it's, you know, maybe a client they've worked with before, you know, they could say, hey, here's the brief. Here's what we need to do. Here's all the assets. Here's the folder with all their logos in it and all the stuff they gave us. And this is what we're doing, and do your best. And then sit down and do your best. Those seem to be always the interns that not only made a bigger impression as interns, but those are the ones I still see at meetings and still see in the industry and still, you know, see that work. You know, the interns that ended up, you know, pouring a lot of coffee didn't seem to always show up later down the road when it came to, you know, meetups and those kind of things. So, you know, engage. You're there for you're there to help, but you're also there for yourself. So make sure you're approaching both sides of those things. Help as much as you can, but also learn as much as you can, and I think you'll be fine. Oh boy. Yeah, I think that's about it. All right, let's wrap it up. It is late here. It's getting dark early in Chicago, and I hate it. It's only 5:17, and we are pitch black. Holy moly. Well, thank you guys for showing up to another podcast, and we'll have another one. I hope you guys, if I don't have another one before the holidays, I hope you guys have a good one. Have fun. Drink a warm beer and get a warm hug and put your Santa hat on or whatever. I got mine on. It's very hot. Smells like chili. Smells like chili. Yeah, anyway, have a good one. Yeah, isn't that right? Warm beer, cold hot tub. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore, guys. I need a drink. All right, see you guys, Hal. See you at the next podcast. Thanks, as always, for showing up. Have a go. Bye-bye.